All right, we're going to start with two movements from Joseph Haydn's String Quartet, Opus 33, number 2, with a nickname, The Joke. The first movement we'll play is a scherzo, or the minuet movement, and just to illuminate Haydn's whimsy, I thought I would demonstrate the tune of the trio section, the middle section. He's written a really charming, simple, lovely tune. However, he's added a fingering, forcing me to play that melody with one finger, and thus getting a slide. So the tune is now. That was thought to be obscene by Victorian editors, and they expunged that fingering. It was only rediscovered in the 1960s. So it's a great little window into Haydn's world of whimsy. So we'll start with the minuet, the scherzo movement from the Joke Quartet, and we'll end with the final movement, the rondo finale, where the nickname actually comes from. And the joke is at the end, so stay with us. Thank you. We are going to finish with two movements from one of Haydn's seminal Opus 20 quartets, composed in 1771. This is the Minuet alla Zingarese in the finale from Opus 20, number 4.
Thank you. I'm Katie Henriksen inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio right here at 91.3 KUAF. Special guest with me today, two-time Grammy-nominated string quartet, the St. Lawrence String Quartet. They are in town to give a concert at the Faulkner Performing Arts Center on the U of A campus in Fayetteville. St. Lawrence String Quartet is so innovative and remarkable. One project they are working on currently is the Haydn Discovery Project, hoping to show a greater appreciation of the father of the string quartet. Let's hear more about why Haydn is so special and why the St. Lawrence String Quartet wants to shine a light on him.
It's really simple, because he's the best. Your station should be all Haydn. You know, that would go over well.
Yeah, what do you think? Your listenership would go through.
Forget
the roof.
This news. It's all Haydn all the time. No, I mean, for string quartet, I'm being facetious, but I'm not really. He's the best, and he's also the ratio of how he's appreciated to how good he is totally skewed. So our sort of role in all this is trying to get both students and audiences alike to share our passion and our enthusiasm for Haydn string quartets.
And it is about context. I mean, where do you see the Haydn quartets on your usual programs or orchestral programs? Where do you see the Haydn symphonies first, right? You go, people are still arriving late, and it's the warm-up piece, right? And then, okay, now we'll go for the meat and potatoes, which is the big romantic piece. We've been known to and continue to do programs where we play Haydn at the beginning and Haydn at the end, with very contrasting things in the middle. But this idea of the discovery is to take the piece and break it down to its fundamental components in a way that we hope audiences will love and get something out of and realize, oh, actually, it's not just the warm-up piece after all.
We continue to be totally amazed. Day in, day out, we rehearse this music, finding new, incredible strokes of genius in every bar. And that's the kind of excitement that we, you know, want to share with audiences. It's that thrill of discovery. And a lot of people think Haydn is, you know, sounds nice, put it on in the background, whatever. But no, it really rewards what we like to call active listening. And that's another big part of our show, The Haydn Discovery.
Let's take a minute to unpack the movements of Haydn that you chose to play here in the studio just a minute.
Well, one thing I would just toss out right away is that we started with Opus 33, the quartet known as The Joke, which, of course, Haydn didn't call The Joke, but it came to be known that pretty quickly, I believe. But the six Opus 33s, which Haydn said he had composed in a new and special way, and everyone's still pondering what that new and special way may have been, because they're great quartets, and there are interesting and unique things about them. But one of the things that's unique and special is that all the minuet movements suddenly were called scherzi. And sometimes the quartets are referred to as the scherzi quartets. Not that that necessarily changes the function of that movement in the quartet all that much. It's more of just a title. But what was he thinking in calling that movement scherzo? I'm not entirely
scherzo
sure.
Scherzo meaning joke.
So
he had some kind of trickster attitude up his sleeve for these quartets.
And then
sure.
You see, you know, this particular scherzo is rather compact, has filled with humor, as Jeff demonstrated. And then we see how Beethoven ran with the scherzo idea not so many years later and decided to make his scherzi kind of centerpieces of so many of his works.
It's a little bit of history is sort of interesting, I think, at least for me. The idea that, you know, like the course of music history changed with Opus 20, that was 1770-ish. And then 10 years later, only he wrote Opus 33. And there's groups of six almost always in these opuses. And the influence on Mozart and Beethoven is hard to overestimate. I mean, so Mozart responded to Opus 33 by writing his Haydn quartets. And this interaction between these two great geniuses is really a remarkable thing to follow. They played together for fun. They would read each other's music. And Mozart gave Haydn all the credit for being the greatest string quartet composer. He struggled, and Mozart didn't struggle. But that moment in history, and then passing of the baton at the end of the 1790s to Beethoven, this young guy who really wanted to write string quartets and study with Haydn, but didn't get up the courage until 1800 to write his Opus 18 set. So it's a really, those 30 years of history really define what the string quartet became moving forward.
What a pleasure to hear you perform Haydn here in the studio and for the context. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for having
pleasure.
Us.
Thank you.